Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. O Lord, our God, our Father in heaven, we come before thee this evening hour looking for a blessing. As we have gathered ourselves together to worship thee, Lord, we believe that you'll hear our prayers, our pleas, and that you will provide the spiritual need that we have for the reason that we have gathered, that the inner man might be blessed and that we might receive thy good word from thee and not from the lips of clay. And so we pray this evening, be thou our guide and strength, and we will promise to give all praise and honor and glory to thee in Jesus' name. Amen. With God's help, I would like to read out of the book of Acts in chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, and he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. And they went into the synagogues and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the disease departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were 7 sons of one Sceva, a Jew, the chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and shewed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. And after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So he sent unto Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. May God bless the reading of the word. Let us bow before him in prayer.
Our gracious God, our Father in heaven, we come assembled into thy sanctuary here in this evening hour, Father, first and foremost, to worship and laud and glorify thy name for all things, Lord, that thou hast done for all mankind. Father, we thank thee that thou art from everlasting to everlasting, and that there is no God besides thee. Father, neither will there ever be. And we are thankful that thou hast brought unto us this knowledge of the truth, Lord, that we could come to know thee, to worship thee in spirit and in truth, to magnify thy name through our lips and through our hearts, with our minds, glorifying thee for who thou art. And so, Father, we give thee thanks, Father, for this opportunity to be here in thy house in this evening to hear thy word of life brought forth to us. We thank thee that there were times here of the apostles when they went forth and brought forth a message of truth. And we see, Lord, that there were responses that were different, and some accepted what thy word would say unto them, and they were baptized. And then there were others who refused thy word. Father, we just pray thee that in this evening hour, that those of us gathered here would gladly accept thy word and would take it to heart and to strive to live for thee, leading sanctified lives that would be directed by the Holy Spirit. Father, help us day by day to mortify the flesh, to put aside those things which are temporal, and to keep our focus upon that which is eternal. Lord, that we would be spiritually minded, Lord, and that knowing that if we are spiritually minded, we will have life and peace. And so, Father, we just pray thee that our gathering together in this evening hour would be an honor and a glory unto thee, and that it would edify each and every one that is gathered here, that the believer would be strengthened in his or her faith, and that those that know thee not, our friends, Father, would be drawn to thee with thy love and with thy kindness and with thy abundant mercy that thou dost have for them. Father, we would pray for those who are not able to be here this evening hour. Lord, we just would lift them up and thank thee that thy Spirit can do all things and is not limited, Father, but is able to reach their hearts likewise and provide a blessing for them too. And so, Father, we just pray thee, Lord, that our minds now would be focused upon thy word, that we would hear what thy Spirit would speak to us. Be thou with our brother as he would bring forth this message, Lord, that thou hast laid upon his heart. And Father, we just pray thee that as a church, Lord, that we would grow to be more spiritual, that we would grow in grace, Lord, in thee and with one another, Lord, and that we would be able by thy grace to show the love of Jesus Christ and to live out, Lord, the life that thou wouldst have us to live. Abide thou with us, do far above our asking, forgive us our trespasses where we have failed thee, Father. Help us, Lord, that we would recognize where we have failed thee. May we turn from that, Father, gladly turn from that, and accept thy commandments, and do what thou wouldst have us to do, and repent from ways that please thee not. Add to this week prayer that which is lacking. We look to thee in all things. Bless us one and all, as we ask this in the blessed name of Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen.
In this chapter we have here this evening, this is one of the journeys, one of the missionary journeys that the Apostle Paul went on. And as he traveled in different ways, we know that He did a lot by sea. He did a lot by the waterways that was there. He traveled back and forth. But there was also many places where he didn't travel by sea, that he traveled by foot. He walked. And there was many miles that he had put on. He was dedicated. He was bound and determined to spread the gospel. And so here we find here where he has come to this city of Ephesus. And what we know about Ephesus, it was a large city. There were many people there. And we believe that God led him there to begin a church and to convert many souls that were there. However, we see in reading in the book of Acts where he ran into a lot of opposition there in Ephesus. And in this here case here, when he came, he seems that the first thing he did was find some disciples there. And so he said unto them, "Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" And they said, "Well, we haven't heard so much that there is a Holy Ghost." And I find that interesting because we need to understand that they didn't. We have the Holy Bible. We have the Word of God, and we know the Holy Spirit leads, and we know all about it here. And it seemed like, why wouldn't they know about the Holy Spirit? Well, you see, they knew about God. They believed in God. They believed in Jesus Christ when they heard about it. They believed John the Baptist. And so when they believed John the Baptist, he preached to be baptized, repent from your sins, and be baptized. This was John's, that's what he says here. And he said unto them, "Unto what then were ye baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." John barely baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. So this was John Baptist's mission, was to baptize people, confess their sins, and they did this, including Christ himself. He was even baptized by John. And so this is the baptism that they knew and understand. So it ain't too hard to understand why they didn't understand the baptism of the Spirit. And of course, we see here then, as he prayed for them, laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And I believe this is part of our doctrine even today, that we follow this doctrine as we know that we're baptized with the water, we're baptized with the Spirit, and we're baptized with fire. And this doctrine of being baptized with the Spirit is performed, as we know it, by laying on of the hands of the elders in prayer. And then, of course, the candidate has to also have faith to believe that he will be sealed with the Holy Spirit. It's not that the elders have any power over them. It's not that they won't receive the Holy Spirit without the laying on of hands, but it's just a practice that the disciples and the apostles did, and so we follow that same pattern this day and age. And as it indicates here, that might have been of belief that because he laid his hands on them, they received the Holy Ghost, that he had some kind of a power to give them this Holy Ghost. And if you base on receiving the Holy Spirit on the Scriptures, you'll find that no man can give that power. It can only come from God. The baptism of the Spirit can only come from God. The only thing that you and I have to have is to have faith to believe that, and to believe that by baptism of the Spirit, we receive the Holy Spirit. We're sealed until the day of our redemption, the Bible says. And so this is an important doctrinal message which we take from this very portion of Scripture, the laying on of hands. And so that some of you young people that may not quite understand this, this is where it comes from. This is where we have established our faith in this day and age. And so, as he goes on to say that, and it says, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all men were about 12. So there was a group of these men that were baptized with this Holy Spirit, and God ordained this in such a way that the Apostle Paul, when he got to Ephesus, he found these disciples, he baptized them, and that's where I believe that the church of Ephesus began, was the very beginning of it. And because it was such a large city, of course, they had a major job on their hands, was to spread the gospel message throughout all of Ephesus. And so, as these men began, it says, they went from synagogue, went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. So you see how they had to, this is where they would gather. They would go to the synagogues. And many times the Jews, this is their gathering place. And not only the Jews, but many Gentiles also would gather there. But mainly the Jews. And that's why it says here that they disputed and persuaded things concerning the kingdom of God. Because they didn't know, they didn't understand all this. And this was he was developing this doctrine of Jesus Christ, this doctrine of baptism, of baptizing them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as the leading of the Holy Spirit. And this is what we're reading here, what took place. And then it says, this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all that they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the disciples departed from them, and the evil spirits went out from them. So the Apostle Paul, with the dedication and the devoted mindset that he had, he was bound and determined to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and this doctrine of baptism, both of water and laying on of hands. And so we can see here that many of them, after 2 years, it says, many of them heard and believed that the word got spread all over, and to the point that even they was wanting to be healed, and just by a handkerchief or an apron touching him, they took it to the sick people, and he was healed. This is the kind of power that God can give through a devoted individual such as Paul. And so this was many miracles that was performed by him only to propagate the gospel message of Jesus Christ. That's many reasons, the reasons that Christ performed the baptisms or the miracles that he did, so that the people will understand that he was sent from God, that he was God's messenger. And we see here then the Apostle Paul, being in the footsteps of Christ, did the very same thing, and the miracles that was performed were done for him, through him, by the Holy Spirit. And we believe that it wasn't him, but it was that the leading of God, the leading of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And so these miracles took place. Evil spirits were brought out, sent out, and not only the evil spirits, but the sickness and diseases that they had, that was all cured. And this is an amazing story when you think about what the Apostle Paul had done. But then we see here that there were some Jews, it says, vagabond Jews, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. So these men, these are vagabond Jews, wanted to do the very same thing. And we see that they tried to do this, bring the Holy Spirit to teach the people, but we see what the Spirit said to them, the evil spirit said to them, it says, and when they tried to cure these people that were evil spirits, and it didn't work. It says, the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? So even the spirits, evil spirits, didn't know who this was. But yet they was trying to do this very same thing that Paul was doing, but we can see that it was not blessed by God. It was not led by the Holy Spirit. And so they had no power over the evil spirits. In fact, it says, when the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overcame them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. So you see, there was a reason for this incident to take place, where they thought they could take and adjure these evil spirits, and it didn't work. And that took place so that they could realize that there's more to it than just coming and oh yeah, I can do that, that's no problem, watch this. Well, it didn't work. It didn't work at all. And so we can see here that this fell on many, and there was a fear that came over them because of what took place here. And then it says, and many that believed came and confessed and shewed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So you can see how this city of Ephesus was so wrapped up in their sorcery and their spiritual way of, in fact, if you read on further here, when this man Demetrius was a silversmith, and he began to, he was making shrines of this Diana, the prophetess Diana, and this was their god that they was worship. So this city of Ephesus was full of this kind of idolatry, false worship, and these men and these silver smiths were making a good living out of this. But when it came to down to the brass thing, brass tacks, if you will, and Paul was teaching about Jesus Christ, he never condemned this Diana, this goddess at all, but the people turned from that and began to believe in Jesus Christ, began to follow Christ, and these people were confused, that these concerned about their trade and about the money they were making on these goddesses. And we can see what happened if we read the rest of that story. But when these came together, these here that had confessed and shewed their deeds, again, it's all about the sorcery that they were doing, that they were following. It was idol worship. But once they learned the way of Jesus Christ, and once they learned from Paul, they brought their books, it says, and they burned them all right there in the street to the tune of the cost of 50,000 pieces of silver. I'll translate that into today's money. I'm not sure what that is, but it was a lot of money because they had their money invested into these. And you can well imagine what that must have done to the book industry of the curious arts and all them evil ways that they were doing. And so we can see that the word of God was spreading. The Apostle Paul had his responsibility. He was teaching and preaching wherever he went in there, and all these men with him, and the church began to grow. When we look at the book of Ephesus, we see then later that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, and he had special letters for them. He wanted them to know and understand what some of the things meant. And so he started off with spiritual blessings, and he taught about the redemption of grace in the first chapter. And in the second chapter, he taught about the saving grace that we know and understand, that God saves us by grace, not by works, but it's all by the grace of God that we are saved. And so that was the doctrine that he preached there in Ephesus, which we understand and we follow today the very same way. And also he preached about The hidden mysteries of their calling had been revealed unto him. And so he was teaching them the mysteries, and the scripture talks about these mysteries that were hidden for ages, long before Paul came into the scene, long before Christ came. And when Christ came, all of this was revealed. And this is what the Apostle Paul's responsibility and job was, to reveal these hidden things, such as the baptism of water, the baptism of the Spirit, the leading of the Spirit. All of this was combined, and this is what his responsibility was there to teach the people in the church in Ephesus. And we can read it. It was recorded for us even for this day, and it applies to us even to this very day, equally the same. In chapter 4, he exhorts about unity. Put on the new man. Put off the old man. And we can read that, how he teaches us that we should live our lives, that to do away with the old ways that we had and put on the new man, the bowels of mercy and tenderheartedness and so on. And so this was part of the things that he had to teach the church at Ephesus, as well as what we can learn ourselves today. And then in chapter 5, he exhorts to love. It's love and purity, and teaching them to how they had to love one another, not only live in unity, but to love one another and serve one another. That we find all in the book of in the chapter 5, as well as he teaches, as we know, we got that familiar chapter in 5 where it's used so many times in a marriage, and he compares a marriage to a man and a woman, the same as Christ is to the church, and how the Christ gave himself for the church, and the church means so much to him, that's his bride, how the man ought to love his wife, and the wife see that she reverences husband, and it's the whole doctrine of marriage is the Apostle Paul lays it out here in the book of Ephesians for us to understand and applies to us. Many times it's used in the ceremony of a wedding. And so this is part of their teachings that they learned, that we too have learned to follow the same things. And then in chapter 6, it talks about the domestic duties, how it's relative duties to children, to parents, to servants, to masters, and it talks about how each one needs to reverence and serve one another, how not only servants need to be obedient to their master, and their master needs to be kind and tender-hearted to their servants or their employees, if you will. And so, again, another standard, another teaching that is doctrinal for us even to this day and age. And it's very, very interesting and good teaching. So all of these things were taking place at the church of Ephesus. These things were the teachings. And as he wrote to them, so that they would understand this plan of God, the way God wanted them to do all of these things. And of course, then we see in his travels that he went to different cities. He went to the church in Philippi. He went to Colossae, and we can read all of those books and all those scriptures that we have today, which applies to us even this day and age. And to think of what the Paul was so devoted to what he did and what he wanted to propagate and how he wanted to bring the doctrine of Jesus Christ, that God used him to write all of these letters. And it's interesting that all of these letters down through the ages, through excavation or however they discovered these letters, how this became the Holy Bible that you and I know today. And so that gives us another indication how devoted that the Apostle Paul was to serving his Lord and his Master, Jesus Christ, and how he taught the people, wanted them to understand. And all these letters that he wrote are very applicable to this very day and age. It makes up our scriptures that we have. However, even when we read Sunday, what happened to the church in Ephesus? When the letter came to the seven churches, and Ephesus was one of them. And it says there that the Lord had somewhat against them because they had lost they left their first love. Again, a doctrine for us to know and understand how we need to be aware of our first love. What are the promises? What are the commitment that we made to serve the Lord? Are we committed like this Apostle Paul was? Are we devoted to serving the Lord like he was? Or have we lost our first love? Has it diminished? And sometimes in the day and age we live, that's so easily done. There's so many cares and concerns of this life, it seems to mellow out and diminish our faith and our trust, especially in the country in which we live. We all have jobs. We all have a way of supporting ourselves, and sometimes we depend on that rather than on God. We have a tendency to do that. We need to be honest with ourselves, recognize this, and not to allow it in our lives. But everything that we have, including our job, including our monetary systems, it all comes from our Almighty God. And we need to reverence Him. We need to look into His Word and know how to deal with these situations that we face. And not to depend on our own understanding, our own finances, our own whatever it might be. And we can, if we're not careful, that can go right into no different than what the Ephesians were doing with their idol worship, with their gods. We too can get into the gods of this world, this day and age, and it can happen. We're only fooling ourselves if we think it can't. So it's important to maintain good practices, reading God's word, knowing what it says for our lives, and understanding it all the time. Because if we don't, Satan will be sure to come to you and to me and to try to destroy the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. And if he can find any weakness in us, that's where he hits us. We all know that. So let us be well aware. Let us be understanding what the book of Ephesians is all about and the missionary trips that he went on. Went from all through Asia and all these places to establish churches, to bring the gospel of message to all of these places. And we can see then that the scriptures were written because of all this, to apply it for you and for me in this day. So may God bless these words upon our heart. May we realize what it means for missionaries to spread the gospel message. Amen.